Clubcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Gina Cavalier. I'm the host of the Liberated Healer Podcast, and I am so lucky to not only be here with you and grateful to you for sharing your time and energy with me, but to be with the lovely Kim Chesney, who is the author of The Illumination of Code that's coming out in April 2nd. And we just want to support her and send her a very big hug and love towards the success of this book and New World Library. So welcome to the show, Kim.
Thanks for having me, Gina. It's great to be here.
And we were having a little talk offline. We have such a kind of parallel path, which is always nice to hear because the unraveling of kind of how we get to a certain point. And yeah, you know, it's helpful for other people to hear that, that we all had to go through this crazy journey. But you do a lot of writing now. In your story, you talk about, I can't believe I became an author, but you know, you had the Illumination Code, which is what we're talking about today, but also Radical Intuition, the Psychic Workshop. I mean, you just kind of went in and you have a background in art and technology, which I'm an artist as well and have a technical background. So we're going to unpack this a little bit. So let's just start with why the focus on intuition and quantum intelligence. I mean, we all have to pick a lane in here. We can't just be this all-knowing thing. Like, why is that? That was your home beacon.
Yes. So that's a great question. So I think the short answer to that is I grew up having all these, as we were talking about before when we were chatting, all of these experiences in life that I needed to understand, and this drew me at a very early age to physics. Even in college, I actually have almost a minor in physics because I was very passionate about it, even from a young age, because to me, it really was our best bet at understanding what was really going on in the realm of consciousness, even, you know, back then, like so many years ago. I won't tell you how many. It's a lot. But the idea with, you know, really pivoting into the quantum intelligence, we know that intuition is key for the arts, right? The arts, technology, even innovation, ingenuity, all of these places are really crucial manifestations of intuition. And at the end of the day, after I wrote my last book, Radical Intuition, people are like, yeah, you know, I've had all these experiences in my life. I know things that other people would call me just when I was thinking of them. And how does it actually work, right? So I got so many of those questions that I really started to do a deep dive into the realm of physics and understanding that physics is describing a supernatural phenomenon in a lot of ways when you look at modern day philosophy. So that was the inspiration behind the book and really an endeavor to get everyone in touch with that sort of inner magic of our own quantum dimension.
And I love that. You know, there's so many people that need to see that there is a physics element to it. So when anytime you can kind of, and that's not really my realm. So anytime you can kind of lean into that, it just gives it like, oh, this is kind of real. So
right.
Can you lean into some of that a little bit more? What makes it real?
Yeah. It is what makes it real. And it's the kind of like this book, you don't have to like have a PhD in physics to read it. Like I've really boiled it down to something that like everyday person can understand, like that I can understand, that really making sense of it in a very matter of fact way in our life. Because the reality is, 200 years ago, before the quantum revolution, when we would have these extraordinary experiences, the intuition, it really helps us to tap into that part of ourself that knows everything and enables us to do these impossible things. And back then, no one understood how that worked. There was that wasn't rational. That wasn't reasonable. So we had to call it supernatural or occult or put these labels on it and marginalize it. But once the quantum revolution got into full gear, we started to realize this whole dimension of consciousness is very real and very normal. And we're built for that, right? So it's not something woo-woo. I mean, it can be, right? It is our connection to our spiritual divine self. But it's also something very practical that we use in our jobs, in our lives, in our relationships, and everything we do. So understanding that we are built for this and that it's part of our design, it's part of the laws of nature in the universe, and then really understanding how that works through the non-local field of everything that connects us all, it's really exciting.
Oh, and it, I really call it saving my life, to be honest, because We all know what we're going through the day and we get offered like a job offer or something. And we're like, oh, I have dreamt about being the president or the VP of X, Y, and Z. And your ego is like, woo, woo. And you're like, something inside, you're nauseous. You're just saying, like your whole being says no. And then you go against it because your ego wants that title, or you tell your friends about it. You know, this is personal experience.
Yeah.
But you know, and then going, when you get there, you feel trapped. It wasn't now you completely feel like you can't go for, maybe you wanted to be an artist or the thing. And you just, now you're stuck and you feel like you're going backwards a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so really like listening to that and saying, oh my gosh, that's not my journey. Mm-hmm. And doing it in a way, you know, because we beat up ourselves up.
Mm.
We make a wrong decision, which also, I mean, maybe you can talk about that. Like if we make a wrong decision, what?
Yeah. Well, the good news is, and you know, and first of all, that kind of scenario has happened to all of us. I think we can all relate to that to a degree. Oh, that famous sign. I should have listened to my intuition, right? Hindsight's 20/20. That's like the famous last word. Your intuition always knows best, but we so often don't listen. But the good news is that, first of all, intuition, not following your intuition, can be one of the greatest teachers in the world, because when you don't follow it and you see what happens, you get a real validation of your intuition. You know, there's nothing more like powerful than that recognition. So on one side, you get a validation, but on the other side, your intuition is always there to help you take that next best step forward. So no matter how many wrong turns we make, our intuition is like a magnet. It's drawing us back to our highest path, to our truth, to our inner oneness. So no matter how far we go down that rabbit hole in the wrong direction, all we have to do is look back within ourselves and take that one next step. And that's what our intuition tells us. It's not going to show us like the whole big picture, like the rational mind. You have to do this and do this and this, then you'll get where you want to be, right? Not that. It's just that little nudge that says, oh, why don't you take that class where you might end up meeting someone who's going to open a door for you? Or why don't you try this new thing you've never done before? Because you don't even know what the universe has for you, but your intuition will guide you to that next little step forward. And eventually the next step will take you higher and higher. And before you know it, you're on your true path, your authentic path, and life feels good again.
I love that you call that the magnet, because that makes, I'm sure people need to hear that, because sometimes you're like, but I can't leave my job and I know it's not right for me, but there is like this constant draw, and mm-hmm. and that is, I love that, like visual.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like you said, sometimes your intuition will lead you to something that you needed to learn. And it happens really fast. Like you went down that one path. You're like, knew it was the wrong thing. And once you start to hone the conversation to yourself, you can say, oh, I knew that was wrong, but yes. You do it faster. I think you learn, the time that you learn gets shorter and shorter. Am I correct in that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you start to understand how your intuition actually feels, it's easier to live by it and make less of those sort of wrong decisions, right? Really, there's no right and wrong. There's just decisions that are the most aligned for you, and ones that are resonant, the ones that are non-resonant with your path and aren't going to serve you, right? But when you start to recognize your intuition, and that's the key thing, because most of us don't know how to do that, because nobody ever taught us that, right? They just told us it wasn't real, and that it's something maybe for women, and you know, old wives' tale. So we don't really understand how to recognize our intuition, other than just how we naturally intuitively process it. So with time, learning to consciously become aware of when your intuition is guiding you and nudging you, it becomes easier to trust it, right? Because we're not going to follow it if we don't trust it. That's really the key, right? Like, oh, my, you know, I have this feeling that I shouldn't take this job, but this job's super great. I'm not going to just not take this opportunity, you know, unless I'm really convicted that that's my intuition, right? So it's key for us to practice our intuition. That's why I teach intuition development, because you need to learn what your intuition feels like. So when you practice it and develop it on your own, you learn to get comfortable with it. And it becomes a way of life, a lifestyle of insightfulness, where you're just constantly listening instead of always trying to control things and figure it out.
Oh, yes. And because you teach it, so you understand, does everybody kind of have their own different style intuition? Like, for example, some gets a tummy ache, some gets a thing in the head, some people get ringing in the ears. I mean, can you help us? Because break down maybe some of these things so people can say, that's me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was really the impetus to answering that question was the impetus behind why I wrote my last book, Radical Intuition, because the question I was answering with that book was, you know, what is intuition and how is it affecting all of us so differently, right? Because if you talk to one person, oh, like I have a gut feeling, another person, I just know things, right? So there's so many different manifestations of intuition. And what I came up with, and I think it's really interesting to understand intuition in a holistic way. So we have these four sort of dimensions of being: body, mind, heart, and spirit, right? So that's one of the things that we recognize as we can all agree on. We have these sort of dimensions of our reality that we experience life. So intuition flows through all of those, I call them four intuitive pathways, through your body, your mind, your heart, and spirit. And if you look at these four pathways, it pretty much includes all the different manifestations of intuition that you could ever think of. For example, if you're a physical intuition, you are very much processing intuition through your body. You might get that gut feeling, that tummy ache, that little prickle, right? The little tingle on your forehead. You might have different, like, the chills or sensations. You might even use your metasenses, those higher senses, or the clairs. You have visions or hear things. Hear phrases or sounds or voices or even smell things. How many times have you had that strange non-existent smell that was like your grandma or something and it made you think of them, right? There's all these different ways that your body processes information from beyond this physical realm. So that's physical intuitives, right? So then there's people who are really good in their mind with their inner guidance, with making decisions with their intuition. So the archetype for that is like the sage, right? The person who's the wise one who has that sort of knowingness about them. It's easy to make decisions and to follow their inner guidance. They're really good teachers and counselors, and people are very much in this intuition of the mind. And then there's the intuition of the heart. And I think that's people like you and me too. People who are creative, visionaries out there changing the world, bringing new products, new ideas, new creative force into the world, the leaders, right? And that's the thing about intuition. They're the leaders that lead the leaders, right? When you follow the intuition of the heart, you follow yourself. You're not following that next best thing or that other, you know, person who's doing the really cool thing. You're following your own voice. Right. So you lead the leaders because then they start following you. So it's a really beautiful place. Like Steve Jobs, a great example of that, someone who is truly an advocate for intuition and how important it is for all aspects of our culture. And then the fourth and last type of intuition is spirit. That's the mystic, the mystical realm. That's our divine connection. That's the really sacred aspect of intuition that connects us to our eternal being and the peace and wonder and joy of life. So when you understand this sort of holistic framework of intuition, you can see how that it all flows in. And we are all a little bit, we all have our own sort of profile. And you can actually take on my website. I have a quiz. It's also in Radical Intuition, your intuition affinity quiz. You can kind of see which areas you're high in and low in. Everybody has their own mix. So you sort of get your own sort of type of intuitive profile.
And you mentioned earlier, you said 200 years, and I kind of feel exactly the same, that 200 years ago, we were obviously less modern and we had this more inherent, I believed. I'm just going back, but I think through whatever's happened in the last 200 years, we really have kind of lost this because we've gone more into the mind and we've become more programmed by other, you know, influences. And then we get conflicted, all that incoming. And like, we become even more supercomputers. We have to handle so much more. You know, we aren't just going to the field and taking care of our kids and just trying to survive on a daily basis. We're like processing social media, all the different, you know, world events. Right. So now we're getting bombarded all the time. I think that's why this is important to talk about, because what happens is it just feels like layers upon layers and, you know, and you just get so emotional and you're trying to like fix a country, another country who's at war, and you're way over, you know, you're trying to figure like, where do I put my energy? And it just gets, you get lost sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why intuition is so important now. And I'm just like shouting it out from the rooftops as much as I can, because we need intuition more now than we ever have. We are inundated with information, right? everywhere, like so much stimulus, information and emotion. And we need that true north so that we can see through that and get into that calm place of quiet and stillness where we know the truth and we can separate ourselves from all the anxiety and all of the turmoil of this world on fire that we're living in.
Yeah. Because you can start creating that relationship outside of yourself. Like, for example, you know, you're on social media and then all of a sudden you're like, you start to talk to yourself. How long have I been on here? Is this making me feel better? Maybe you should go for a walk. You know, you start to have like almost, you're watching social media, but you have this thing. And when you start to develop that intuition, right. And you start to go, oh, shut that down, go for a walk. Like yes. You start to, it gets better. I feel.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's the secret really to having and really hearing your intuition is taking that time out from the busy life, from making more white space on your calendar, going for a walk. Just think about the times you've got the biggest insights. Usually you're driving your car, taking a shower. What happens? You get these big ideas that pop in your head when you're being aimless, like Einstein said. Those aimless moments, we feel like we're doing nothing. We feel guilty for doing nothing because we live in a culture that tells us we have to be doing things and be busy 24/7 or we're not being productive. But in reality, even companies like big companies like Google and tech companies recognize how important that aimless time is, creating like Fridays that are like no meeting Fridays where people just get to ideate and be creative, right? So that's really key, is getting into that stillness and pulling back and finding that quiet so you can hear your intuition when it's speaking to you.
Well, I think this is important for, you know, it's obvious people that work in the spiritual space, this is what we work on. But what I like to extend out, you know, is to say teens who are maybe getting catfished or told, you know, go meet me, you know, some old creepy adult or an elder who's getting bombarded by, you owe me money, you're going to go to jail. You know, there are all kinds of scams in the world. I'm like, they upset me so much, you know, but that's why I love this too. It's like reminder to those, you know, spirit, we work on time, but we have to get this to the people that are like, if you feel weird, if you see a red flag online, something feels creepy, just say no.
Yes. Yes.
You can just block them. And if it is a real thing, it'll come back somehow the way, like, you know, right? I mean, this is important.
Absolutely. I mean, intuition can save your life. And Oprah talked a lot about that, of when you meet strangers and, you know, all of these things. If even if someone checks all the boxes, especially if they seem super perfect, right? You need to listen to that part of yourself that knows everything, because there is a part of you that knows if this person's up to no good or doesn't have your best interest in mind. And it'll manifest in different ways. You might just have an uneasy feeling, or things might not align for you to like connect with them, right? Those might be signs too. Things aren't aligning on the outside or on the inside. So we have to listen to these subtle cues from within and from the universe on the outside, because all of it's really connected, that help us to recognize that, you know, not everybody's out there to serve us and aid us on our path, unfortunately.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they have a whole different thing going on. Let's talk about signs. And since you said the word signs, I mean, how can that work with your intuition?
Oh, signs. I love talking about signs. It's so funny. It's one of my favorite topics, especially when it's coming to this idea of quantum intelligence, because we get into ideas like synchronicity and entanglement and how the universe speaks to us through the outside world as much as our intuition speaks to us from the inside world. So I look at signs being a sort of external intuition. So even things like, for example, when you look at the clock and you see your favorite number or an angel number, you know, that's just one example people think about a lot when it comes to intuition. So what do we have in common when we're doing that? It's our attention. Our attention's being drawn to something. And that's really how simple our intuition is when it comes to signs. We notice something that we wouldn't normally notice, right? We think it's outside of us, but a lot of it's actually inside of us, because we're drawn by these little subtle cues of our attention to see these things and to recognize things. Oh, why'd I see this ad for a Qigong class on Facebook? I just happened to notice this come up out of the blue, right? Maybe I should take this class. And maybe you take it and you meet a new friend or something, right? So there's all these little ways that the inner world and the outer world are connected through intuition.
And how do you explain that? Do you think it's guides, or how do you explain it to people? Or is it weaving of the universe? Is it information is everywhere all at once? Like, what is it?
And that was the big question, right? When I started writing this book, because, you know, I had so many of my students tell me, like, are these spirits that are helping me? Are these my guides that are helping me? How is this actually working? Like, people were reluctant to do it, right? Because there's been so much conditioning against intuition that it's dangerous, that you're going to get possessed by Satan and all of this craziness, this propaganda that the powers that be have fed us so that we don't find our inner power and don't know our truth. But the reality is intuition is our best friend. You're not safer anywhere in the world than when you're listening to your intuition. Your intuition will never hurt you. It will always guide you to the highest, most beautiful, loving place in the universe. So how does it work? Right. So yes, there is life beyond life. So, in some cases there is interaction with our guides and those who are looking out for us, from the other realms, but largely with ideas like entanglement, quantum entanglement, which is particles can connect to each other through a non-local field that connects all of us, also applies to human consciousness. For those little moments, like when you think of someone and they call you on the phone that you haven't heard from them in months or years, like a great story from my book. I was writing the beginning of this book. It was about what kicked off my journey. Was a palm reader gave me a fortune reading at a carnival in England, and told me in 4 years I was going to be in court. And she gave me a date and everything, the exact date. And I was like, okay, we're going to see if this comes through. And I wrote it all down. I recorded it. And sure enough, I ended up being sequestered on jury duty for 2 weeks that year. So I was writing about that. And I hadn't heard from any of my friends in England for 30 years since it happened. And while I was writing about it, my closest friend reached out and followed me on social media. After 30 years at that same time, right? So this is what I talk about with entanglement. All the way on the other side of the world, there was a part of me that was connecting to a part of my old friend that allowed us to reconnect. And that applies to so many different things in your life, with your friends, family, anybody that you have emotional or thought connections with, you're communicating with intuitively at all times.
I think one of the things that people really have to embrace while they're starting this work too, though, is that doubt in their mind, you know, and it is a practice of believing in yourself, you know? Mm. So the doubt, I mean, I had a practice, you know, I had psychic development classes too. And that's something we worked on all the time. Cause you're like, did I really think that? Am I actually thinking about that person? Did they actually think, you know, you're constantly putting this doubt around your intuition.
Yes.
Like, what do you say about all that doubt?
that's one of the very first things that when you're working with your intuition, the most important thing to develop is that sense of self-trust, right? So we have to trust ourselves. In order to trust ourselves, we have to trust our intuition and see our intuition actually play out in a positive way, in a way that we thought, right? So that's why when I give live workshops, just like you took your intuition development classes as well, this provides a forum for us to practice and get those validations, right? So I have students that come in, they're like, I want to listen to my intuition, but I don't believe in myself. They're afraid to say everything. It's like, they can't do this, right? And then once you try it and you're working with someone and you tell them something and you blow their minds because you know something that there should be no way for you to know, then you realize, yes, oh my gosh, I can do this. And you get that validation that makes you start to have confidence in yourself and trust yourself, and then take that out into your life and use that same confidence and trust to make decisions, right? Because it's about knowing, okay, like this job is the right job for me because I feel it and I trust myself. I'm going to go all in on it, right? Or vice versa, right? So it's learning to trust those feelings and those knowings and recognize them for what they are.
Yeah. And if you don't, you go into another, it's all about energy too. So
yes.
If you kind of put a resistance up and you go into what I call effort, you know, like you're efforting to mm-hmm. be right, or you're efforting to have some understanding. Everybody has a different way of receiving information. And I still think that it's important to bring up again, because when I was in these classes, I'd be like, I want to you could tell somebody's like, oh yeah, like you said, so specific. So you're going to go to court on this date. Like that might not be your skill.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that that person's skill is any better than your skill.
Exactly.
You know, and it's right.
Right. 100%. You have to find your unique intuitive language. And that's one of the things I also talk about in radical intuition is, you know, and you can do that for understanding your intuitive pathways and then learning your own brand of intuition. And that's the one thing. It's been great teaching intuition because no two intuitions are the same. It's not like everything else. Like, oh, this is how you do it. No, I have to teach people to learn and trust their own intuition, whatever that is. That's really the key. And it's 100%. No intuitions are the same. And that's why it's hard for some people, like you said, to trust themselves because they're not getting the same thing that someone else is getting that seems really great. But they don't realize they have this own other thing that's really great. We all have our own unique superpowers. And we just have to find them.
And then once you get into that, I mean, once you really kind of tap in and understand your intuition, you can go, it's limitless, right? Like you can go into past lives, parallel reality, alternate universes. Yes. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways you can go with it. But if you don't have the base of your intuition, you're going to get lost pretty fast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, we're only thinking with like half our brain. And that's the problem. We've been so unbalanced in our culture for centuries where we realized, you know, oh, being intelligent is a good thing. We have to be smart and rational and we have to solve problems in a linear way. And that has served us really well in creating this society of engineering and comfort and all of the things that we have in the world today, technology. But there's another side of our brain that's there to help us, that's magical, and it will take us to the next level if we just start to explore it and open to it. So ultimately, I always say, we want to think with both sides of our brain. We want to think with our intuitive brain. We want to think with our rational mind, right? That all of these things need to complement each other. So we're thinking with our full capacity. Right now, there's so much of our brain that we're not using, we don't understand. And so a lot of that, I think, is related to our latent intuitive ability that we're just untapped.
I think your book is beautiful. I have a galley, so it's a little bit, but it's, you know, It is really well written. It's really easy to understand. There's all kinds of meditations and practices. You go into telepathy, soulmates, all kinds of different things. So it's just not a linear read, I would suggest. Of course, you probably do that too. But, you know, just kind of finding your guidance, you know, about what's reading towards you, because some things might be like, oh, that's a little much, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how you explain people to kind of use it?
Well, so yeah. So I've had that question before, and I always encourage people, first of all, to follow their intuition first. If there's something that you're called to, by all means, go to that section. I did, however, I sort of built this book in a linear fashion to start off with sort of some of the 101 kind of stuff, starting off on an easy note, and then it gradually gets more intense, deeper. We go deeper into our inner dimension with each key. So there's 7 keys, and each key sort of unlocks a new dimension. So you know, if you're pretty familiar with this stuff, it's not a problem to bounce around. But if you're new to it, you're going to want to start at the beginning so you even understand what the non-local field is, right? And, you know, how does it actually work? And what is this idea of meta-reality and the Akashic record? And how does all of this inform all of these other, this full spectrum of experiences that we can really sort of embody and personally own with our intuition?
So we'll just talk about the first key. There's 7, but just to give them an idea what the first key is, and part of me knows everything.
Yeah, that's the big one. And, you know, I've talked with people around this, and some people, it's, you know, if you're an intuitive person, you get it. You're like, yes, right. That makes sense. It's like my higher self, that all knowing part of me, the divine self. But I've had a lot of people that I've, you know, been talking about that they really have a hard time wrapping their minds around that. How could a part of me know everything, right? Because there is this non-local unified field that connects all living beings, that's filled with all the energy and information of the universe that is instantly accessible by our intuition at all times and in all places. So you don't need to go anywhere to receive it other than to be in a a good high vibe place, because when we access our intuition, it's all stored at sort of this energy level that's high frequency and light. And when we get into that high vibe space, it's easier for us to hear it, right? When we're low and we're struggling and we're feeling in the darkness, it can be harder to connect, even though that's when we need our intuition the most. It can be harder for us to get a clear sign because there's emotions and there's thoughts that are sort of overpowering us. But yeah, so recognizing that there is a dimension of ourself that knows everything. Like, for example, tarot cards, you're playing, you know, with oracles or tarot cards. Well, how do you know which card to pull? Because a part of you knows where every single card in that deck is and pulls the card that you need, right? It's very simple.
So how can using your intuition help with people who might have suicidal ideation?
That's when we talk about intuition being your best friend, your lifesaver, really learning to recalibrate to the inner world instead of the outer world. And I think that a lot of, when we're struggling in life, and we've all been in those dark places and had those dark nights of the soul, the world can make us feel small. Our egos can make us feel small. And when we turn to our intuition, you know, one of the traits of intuition is when you really can find it and touch into it, it's expansive. It brings you love and support from the universe. It wants you to heal and have all the good things in the world. So when we can make that shift away from that outside world and trying to like make sense of it all and finding our place, social media, all of that stuff, and shifting to that inner wholeness and peace and love that's waiting there, because that's what's on the other side of your intuition. Mm-hmm. You follow it deep enough. What at the end of the road is love. Love is the coherence of the universe. It's the oneness. It's the unity. It's the loving embrace of the universe. And that's where you will end up if you keep following us. And that's the great healer, right? And it's the way that we reconnect with our true authentic self, not this other self that the world is telling us we need to be. Right. It's that true loving self that, you know, it's all there waiting for us. If we open up to find it.
Yeah. Lately we've all seen this trend where people are almost trying to like remold themselves from the way that they've been brought into the world in a way where it's not really authentic to who they were. You know, they're just kind of trying to, maybe they don't like, there's some kind of a dislike about where they are. So they're trying to mold into something else, but that never seems to fix it. You know, it just seems to be, and that's so, you know, that's why there's so much pain. And when you talk to people in these journeys and they're like, oh, I went through all of this, I changed everything top to bottom and that didn't do anything, you know? And I'm not saying that that's bad if that's what you really want to do, but really learning your intuition first and becoming a friend with that and knowing that might be helpful before you go down that road. Correct. Because
absolutely,
people are making changes that can't be changed again. I'm just saying to try to fix something that, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, we're all on this journey and, it's about finding ourselves, right? When we're young, that we hear I need to go find myself. I need to go on the street. What does that really mean? And I think that's following your intuition to find your true authentic self. So we go out there and we try these different paths that are really other people's paths, maybe not our paths. We can learn from them and then sort of let them fall away and keep realigning with our own path till ultimately we find who we really are, right? And we're all unique. We all have different paths, but they're all going to the same place. They're all going back to that place of reconnection. And we don't have to go there. We can keep chasing all these dreams and we can go chase money and cars and all of those worldly things if we want. But if we want to really find our true self, we have to follow our inner compass.
I love the inner compass. So do you have any kind of final thoughts that you kind of want to bring to the table today, or a meditation, or is anything you'd like to share a profound message from your book or just within yourself?
I would just like to say that, you know, this book is really an opportunity to rediscover the magic of life. And that's what I hope people get out of it. And I, if you go through, this is a hands-on book, right? So you saw us, there's over like 50 different exercises. We've got workshops. This isn't just a reading book. This is a doing book. This is an experiencing book. I want you to get out there. Don't take it from me. I can talk about this all day long. But don't take it from me. Go out there, see for yourself, experience it for yourself. That's the only way you're going to believe and trust and get into that place where you can rely on this inner guidance and this inner wisdom in everything you do. So I'm really hoping that, you know, by having more people going out there and really honoring this part of themselves and recognizing that it's real, that we'll be able to reconnect with our true authentic being as a global species, as a humankind, right? Because this is big. We need to come together now more than ever, right? We need to find our unity. And that's the road that intuition takes us into, that all underlying commonality between us all. So hopefully we'll be able to take a little step back from this train that's riding down the rails of progress and reconnect with life and nature and beauty and wonder and all of that goodness that's on the other side of our intuition.
And what I found intuition helped me is it helped me find my strength to put in healthy boundaries. Because especially say if you're an empath and you're kind of overcaring and nurturing to everyone but yourself. And when you have intuition and you can say, I'm sorry, that's a boundary. You know, I'm not going to let you talk to me that way. Yes. That could be your boss, you know, but when you start putting up those, and your intuition will say, no, like this person is, speaking to you in a way that is not going to be good for you, that you're going to go home and be on your pillow crying. Mm-hmm. You can say, sorry, but I got to cut this off right here. This isn't heading in a way. Maybe get back to me when you're in a better space or whatever, but yes. You literally can change how everything happens to you. And it doesn't matter who it is. It does. And nobody's above you. And that's another thing. And you start to learn that. And I'm really passionate about this because I've really found that in me. I put everybody above me and, you know, say if I had an opportunity, like something I've always wanted, say, you know, with my publishing deal, say the publisher says, hey, I want to do that. And inside I said, no, but just say yes, because you want to, they're your publisher. You just go with what they want. But if you go, something inside of you is saying, no, you need to stand up for this, but there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. That's not challenging, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? And that just gets so refined and every relationship is better.
It really is. And that's why I always talk about intuition comes from a place of peace and power, peace and right? Power. So thinking of peace and power as the elements that intuition brings to you, right? It brings you the calm. It brings you the stillness. It brings you the loving kindness even, right? But it also imbues it with a sense of power. You're not going to let people walk all over you. You're not going to absorb their negative energy. It empowers you to stand your ground, to walk your path, to live your truth, right? So it's on one hand, again, it's very peaceful, right? It's very much self-loving. We're very gracious. It teaches us to be kind to other people, but it doesn't let us be doormats and let people walk all over us, right? It makes us stand in our power and hold our peace. And when you think of them both, then that enables us to balance that sort of energy that intuition gives us to hold our space.
I think the word doormat is a sign because I had to use that yesterday. Because you know, when you're out in public, of course, somebody was coming at me really hard. And, I'm like, I'm not a doctor. I don't diagnose people and I'm not a doormat. And just because I'm out here in the world doing the best I can does not give you the ability to walk all over me because you didn't like something I said. I'm not accepting that.
Yes. No.
I never have done that before. And I use the word doormat. I'm not your doormat. You can't just walk on me. And
it's weird because I never usually use that analogy. I don't think I've ever used that analogy before in an interview and all my millions of interviews.
Yeah. That's so weird. Oh my God. It's dying. But because I kind of had my head going, you know, I had to get that thing going. Oh no. I'm not a doormat. You don't get just to walk on me because I'm out in public doing my stuff.
Nope.
And even if I was a therapist or a doctor, there, you know, there has to be some kind of respectful ways of communicating constantly, you know, period. We have to get to that point. And if anybody starts to get to that more of abusive nature or gaslighting or all that stuff, I don't even care. Well,
and honestly, it's more of a reflection of them than you, because all of the haters, all of the trolls, all these people that are coming at you are coming from a place of their own lack, whether they either don't want to believe what you're saying because it means they have to change or do something differently, or they've made mistakes in their lives, so they're trying to discredit you, or there's something about their ego that's saying, oh, I'm better. Oh, I do this better. Right. So there's some sort of lack of intuition on someone else's part for them to be saying these things to you, right? So you shake it off. You don't even listen to it. You just don't even let it affect you at all.
But you have to have a strong intuition of yourself. So you can do that, because if you do that in the moment and act emotionally, and you're not acting out of a space of a calm peace and power, I love that. Mm-hmm. Peace and power, intuition, but all your emotions flood up and you go, ah, right? Yep. That's emotionally reacting. So sometimes you're emotionally reactive, and you might even do or say things that aren't your nature or something because it's emotional. But when you do it out of intuition, from peace and power, you're just like, oh no. Mm-mm.
And that's a good thing. That's right. That's a good check-in, right? You check yourself on that when, like, you say someone comes, says something, and you want to like write an email, and you're like, well, is this coming from a place of peace and power? And you're like, well, maybe I'll wait 24 hours. Let the energy pass, let my head clear, right? Because it's about the heart and the mind. You want to get in that place of quiet knowingness and feelingness, and then respond from that.
Oh my gosh. When I really finally learned that I could wait on an email or whatever, because you know, I worked in the entertainment industry, and somebody would be like, I can't believe blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, and I would write. Like I felt like I had to respond in that moment. And now I'm like, I'm going to give that some space, go walk the dogs, talk to him tomorrow. It's there's so much control. And the next day you respond 800% different than you would if I responded that time day.
Yes.
Because I try very hard to go back and say, if that email went online, would I be able to hold on to that and say, I still respect that?
Yeah, that's fair too.
You know what I mean? I really, like, if that email went to the president of my company or something when I was working, can I stand behind it and said, absolutely, yes. I still feel that right now. You can't say that when you're writing emotionally.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Emotions and busy thoughts, those are like the two things that impede our intuition. Right. Intuition it's motivating. It's emotive, but it's not emotional. If you're all like crying or like upset, you got to let that wave pass, because intuitions, that's not intuition. Those are your personal feelings. Right. And the same with your thoughts. You know, we can have obsessive thoughts. We can be really busy about things, but like when it comes to intuition, you have a quiet, calm, knowing feeling when you're in that zone. And so we have to let all our busy thoughts and all of our emotions sort of pass away before we engage in anything really important, honestly. it'll save us.
Well, you've been wonderful. I feel a kindred spirit with you. You don't have to be doormats. We're giving you permission. Go into the peace and power. And it's coming out April 2nd, which is the day that this is going to go live. Anyways, people, this is the Illumination Code. New World Library brings you literally the best authors.
They do. They're the best.
one day they will accept my submission. But 7 Keys to Unlock Your Quantum Intelligence. Look at, there's so much work that this lovely person put in to, and it kind of, it goes into Akashic Records and all kinds of other stuff, if that's what you want to go, but also starts you off very easy into the idea of intuition. So thank you so much, Kim. It's been a blessing. Wonderful to have you. We wish you so much wellness and journey and success on the book, that it gets into the hands of the people that need to hear this right now.
Amen.
And you guys, please like, share, and subscribe. It would mean a lot to me. I really do need some additional support in that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking with you.
Oh, we love you guys. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Pumpcast.